Growing through suffering. That's the theme for my talk tonight, growing through suffering. I talked about paradox a little bit ago. We're going to discuss paradox a little bit. I wasn't really sure what a paradox actually was, so I had to look it up. A paradox is something that's absurd or contrary. It's often used to illustrate a person of opposites. As I thought about the idea of paradox, I thought, boy, the Bible's full of them. Listen to some of these. Ideas and behaviors, good and evil. Righteous and unrighteous. Selfish and greedy. Or selfless and greedy, I should say. Jesus, in his lessons when he taught, he used a lot of paradoxes. For example, the foolish man built his house upon sand. Yeah, the sand, right? The wise guy built his house upon a rock. Yeah, paradoxes, right? Back and forth, yeah. So, with those thoughts in mind, think about this. Think about the idea of a suffering Almighty God. Isn't suffering kind of associated with sin and bad stuff? Isn't suffering kind of connected to sin and evil, right? Good and bad? And yet we're told in the scripture that God's heart grieves and that he regrets. Listen to these. Genesis 6:6. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. 1 Samuel 15, we read this. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. For Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. See, God suffers over failures of his people. God suffers when his people fail, when they hurt. Scripture often likens God to a parent. You can kind of see that in the scriptures. A parent who suffers pain and grief when a child has issues. If you're a parent, you've experienced that emotional suffering of loving somebody. You know what that's like. Just like God does. But with God, you know, he suffers differently than we do. He suffers knowingly. That's really a difference between God and us and his grief and regret and our grief and regret. He suffers knowingly. See, God is all-knowing. He knows the beginning and the end. He knew that when he created Adam and Eve, he knew that they would sin and choose self over him. And yet God chose to create Adam and Eve. Chose to create them. God knew that his creation would be corrupted beyond measure. And yet he created it anyhow. God knew that Abraham, Father Abraham, right? We were discussing singing that song tonight to give you a little uplift. But Father Abraham, God knew that Father Abraham would fail, would have issues in his life. And yet God used Abraham to be the father of his people. Anyhow. God knew that his people, Israel, would drift away and reject him. And yet he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, anyway. God knew that Jesus would be rejected as the Messiah. That he'd be abused and mistreated, that he'd be whipped, that he'd be cursed, spit upon, and hung on a cross and die. And he did it anyhow. He chose to do that. See, God chooses to suffer because in the end, Almighty God, all-knowing God, in the end, he knows that everything will be okay. Listen closely to these words. It's the same verse that I used a few weeks ago, John 12:27. Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, remember that phrase, by the way. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus knew the physical pain and emotional suffering was before him. He went forward knowing that these things were coming with a clear head and a determined spirit. Humiliation and certain death was before him, but Jesus knew what had to be done. Here's a little story, I thought, that illustrates this a little bit. In January of 13th, 1982, some of you probably remember this, Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into Potomac River. You kind of remember some of that? Ice was on the wings and prevented the plane from taking off, and almost all the passengers apparently died, except for just a few. The few that did survive the struggle in the icy river, where rescues were able to be reached readily and pulled out of the water. Five times, this helicopter lowered a rope down to this guy named Arlen Williams. Five times, Arlen Williams passed the rope to somebody who was in worse shape than he was. The sixth time that rope came down to him, he was too weak to get a hold of it. So he handed it off to somebody. His heroism was not rash. He was aware of his own strength and how it was failing, and he deliberately handed the rope to somebody else. Jesus didn't rashly give his life for us either. Being a sacrifice for us was his identity with the eternal past. He knew what would be happening. We need to take that lifeline that God is offering to us in Jesus. We need to hang on to it tight, like Joel was getting at earlier. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's our lifeline that we need to grab and get a hold of, because he deliberately gave his life for you and I. Folks, the decision or the difference between God's suffering, his grief, his regret, those type of things, his choice is a matter of the will. He chooses to suffer. Now, I got thinking about God choosing to suffer, and I thought about it regarding myself. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't like suffering. I avoid it as much as I can. I don't like suffering. It don't get along. It's like hot and cold and, you know, sour and sweet. I don't like it. And I do avoid it to as much as I can. But when I do start to hurt just a little bit, I got to tell you, I go whining to Nancy. I do. And most of the time, she's pretty compassionate about it. But I just give you a little note. If you do something really stupid, you know, like go down that sliding hill on your skis, you know, and you wipe out and you hurt your back, don't expect any sympathy from my wife. Because she will not give it to you. God purposes to allow circumstances and situations to develop in the world that he created, in your life in particular. God allows those things to happen, even though it's going to cause him pain. He does this because he loves his creation. God does this because he desires for his creation to choose him over self. That's a big one, people. To put God's purpose above our own. He does this because he knows that in the twinkling of an eye, all things will change. And he will lavish in the glory of his people. Suffering from the world's perspective is seen as foolishness, weak, and stupid. From the believer's perspective, we sometimes tend to see it as free will. A hope beyond here, that's we got the hope. But from God's perspective, he sees suffering in his own life, in his own being, as agape. Unselfish, purposeful love in your life. When it comes to suffering, we need to think more like Jesus. When it comes to suffering in our lives, we need to have the mind of Christ. But sadly, this is kind of our condition. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 3, 6. But the natural man, the man of the flesh, right, does not accept the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, you got to have God's Spirit within your life, right? So that you can understand some of this stuff. Maybe if you're here tonight and you're not getting it, maybe we need to talk about your relationship with Jesus. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual praises all things, and yet he himself is praised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Paul then says, but we, he's including you and I, right? We have the mind of Christ. For I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, he says, but as men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. For you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able yet. But you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? These were believers. People who said like Joel did, I claim the name of Jesus. They couldn't get it because their minds, their heart was fleshly. Too many of us folks have not learned the benefits of suffering. We haven't learned it. We tend to understand suffering as a negative. I'll raise my hand. I'm one of the first ones to say it. That's not a fun thing. We tend to see it as a negative. We tend to see suffering like the friends of Job. Dude, you must have really messed up here. Right? With confidence, we can look forward to a better place. We can forget. We tend to forget as Christians that suffering develops a Christ-like mind, a character quality that comes into our life because we've gone through difficult things. From James 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. What is that? Growing up in your faith, right? Becoming mature as a believer. It comes through the trials and the tribulations of life that teach us endurance so that we might grow up to be strong oak trees. From Romans, we read this. And not only this, but we also exalt. And y'all remember, I've tried this with you before, that word exalt, you know what it means? E-X-U-L-T? It's like you're at the football game and there's a touchdown and your team just scored. Yes! That's the idea here. Listen to this. Not only is this, but we also exult, yes, in our tribulation. Really, it's not for me. I don't want that in my life. In our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Kind of like endurance, isn't it? And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. people, when we suffer and God reassures us and brings those character qualities into our life, what is happening? Think about it. God's love has been infiltrated into your mind and into your being so that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that you might more clearly see His heart and understand His purpose. In Romans chapter 12, well, let me go back just a hair. Jesus told us that we would suffer in His name. He told us that we would have a cross that would be burdensome. And with confidence, we can look to a new and a better home. He told us all that stuff. And in Romans chapter 12, toward kind of the middle, toward the end, and then 13 and 14 too. But Paul explains to us the necessity, the absolute need to properly deal with struggles, persecution, and trials. Go home and read it in that light. And what you're going to see is how the life of a Christian radiates the love of God amongst those people whom they're around. And in that radiation of God's love through those difficulties in your life, you will draw people to Jesus. Because you will be His witness. You will be His witness. Jesus said, for this purpose, you are called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is different than being saved. It shouldn't be. But sadly, in practical application, it is. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is different than just being saved from your sins. See, being a disciple is a deeper commitment, more than just being saved. Discipleship is a mindset. It's an attitude of the heart. It's the idea that we are willing to place God's will before my own. Setting aside your plans, setting aside your will, setting aside your desires will cause you to feel pain right about here. It hurts sometimes. Putting God's will before my own. Putting God's purpose before my own, it doesn't feel good sometimes. But this suffering, it will come to individuals who desire to have the mind of Christ. It will come to the individual. It will come to the family who chooses to put Jesus Christ first in their life, to develop a mindset of Christ-likeness amongst their family. The suffering will come to churches. Churches who desire to put Jesus above everything else. My question to you, as an individual, maybe as a family group, yeah? Maybe as this church body right here. My question to you is this. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to put Jesus before everything else in your life? We readily see Jesus' deep devotion to the Father's will and His commitment to your personal salvation in these words from Luke 22, 42. Father, if you are willing... God, if you are willing, Father, my God, if you're willing, take this pain and punishment and disgrace and humility, take it from me. And yet He says, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus suffered, that you might have a high priest, a spiritual figure that's gone through what you've gone through, that he might intercede on your behalf to God as Father. Jesus' suffering was on purpose. It was a mission that had to be fulfilled because it was God's will for him. You have a believer. You, as a believer, have a mission. You have been commissioned with a job to do. And that job is to be a witness to the sovereignty of God. Almighty God. You're to be his witness. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of God as you endure the trials and the tribulations of this world. At this time, I want you to just bow your heads, would you? Just kind of be in a meditative place, you would, in your heart. And I'd ask you to think about some of the difficulties that you've experienced in the past or that you're experiencing now or that you might think is coming. Those are the worst. And in prayerful thought, I would like you to make a decision tonight. Make a decision, one way or another. Am I willing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do I desire to grow in my life with God through the grace and knowledge that he's poured into my life? Do I want to be infilled with his Holy Spirit in such a way that the love of God just flows over to all those who are near and around me? Pick out that one issue that prevents it. Bring it to the foot of the cross. Heavenly Father, this evening, I know I've had to sort through this myself. And I pray that each one in this room tonight would be dedicating their heart, their mind, their body, their soul, their individuality, their families, maybe even this church body, to the building and the kingdom of the glory of God, so that it might truly be a fountain flowing with the richness of God's tremendous love and mercy. And we extend our love, our hearts out to you in love. Direct our steps and guide us, we pray. For it's in Jesus' holy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Wait a minute. Think about this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.